8:31 this morning with Aaron Kack at 97.9 The Hill. AJ in the studio, joined on the phone now by the voice of the Tar Heels, Jones Angel. Jones, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
No, AJ, great to have you back. See, this is what happened. Aaron said, AJ filled in for me last week. The Tar Heels won 40-7, so I'm going to have make sure AJ just stays there for the foreseeable future. So great to talk with you again, and certainly excited for a big weekend in Chapel Hill. You've got the live action with Carolina basketball tonight, so first time that you get to see the women's and the men's teams in a public setting, and then followed up with, of course, that huge football game coming up tomorrow night in Keenan against Miami. So really looking forward to what should be a great weekend in Chapel Hill.
I guess Carolina is technically a football school now because everybody's just overlooking the fact that we also have basketball tonight.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I mean, Carolina played like a real a big-time football team last week. I know that for sure. And I thought it was a really impressive performance from Carolina. And, AJ, I thought it was a real complete performance and a balanced performance. And by that I mean, you know, it was 400-plus yards passing and 200-plus yards rushing. And there were 11 guys who caught a pass and 7 players who rushed the ball and 10 players who had 3 tackles or more on the defensive side. And you did some really good things offensively, really good things defensively. It was just everybody contributing to make that performance happen. And Carolina never was really in danger, right? I mean, it was 10-0 after the first quarter and 27-0 at halftime, and they never looked back. And so to do that against a team that I think is a solid team. Yeah, I don't think Syracuse is the number one team in the country or anything, but I do think it's a solid team. And Carolina completely outclassed the Orange, at least on that afternoon. And so really impressive performance. And it's going to take that type of performance to be able to win again on Saturday night because Miami's really good. They're really talented. And they're going to be a little angry because of what happened with them last week. And
yeah,
so it'll be a big big matchup for sure and take a great performance to win.
Well, actually, let's talk about that ending from the Miami-Georgia Tech game a little bit. Are you on the just kneel the ball boat? I'm assuming at this point most everyone is.
I don't know how you could not be on the just kneel the ball. But and here's, if people didn't see what happened, you know, Miami had the football and the lead by 3 in the final moments against Georgia Tech, and it had gotten to the point where because of the math of the clock, all Miami had to do was take a knee and the clock would run out and Miami would win the game. And instead, the Hurricanes elected to run the football. They fumbled and then defensively had some breakdowns and allowed Georgia Tech to go, I think it was 75 yards in 2 or 3 plays. There was an incompletion or two in there, but essentially it was 2 long passes that got Georgia Tech to the end zone, and the Jackets win it with 1 or 2 seconds left. And so in football terms, it's an inexcusable mistake. It's a mistake that Mario Cristobal, the Hurricanes head coach, has completely owned. He said, look, that can't happen. It did happen. It's on me, and off you go. But AJ, I think for this game, I do think it presents a little bit of an extra challenge for Carolina because, look, Miami's good. You know, Miami is talented. They always are. They are skilled. They are fast. They are athletic. And I think they have a really good team this year, a team capable of playing for an ACC championship. And now you've got a good team that's been hammered all week, right, from every angle. Yeah, everybody's got an opinion on what they did wrong, and everybody's telling them what they did wrong, and everybody's poking fun at them. And, you know, at some point, particularly as competitors, that you're tired of taking that. And so I think when you have a good team that has something to rally around, that's ready to prove everybody wrong and shut everybody up a little bit, that just gives you an extra level of danger if you're the Tar Heels. Now, here's the good news. Is Carolina has a team capable of meeting this challenge. You know, Carolina is a good football team this year, and that they are good enough, certainly, to win this game. But they will have to play well to win this game. And so that's the exciting part, is that, AJ, this game, and honestly, I think every game left on the schedule, Carolina can win that game. Doesn't mean it's going to, but Carolina can win every game left on the schedule. They aren't looking that far ahead. They're only worried about Miami, but this is a team that's capable of some really fun things this year, and they'll try to take another big step towards those goals and towards those ultimate places they want to be coming up tomorrow night at 7:30.
Well, speaking of some of the standout performances that we've seen from some players on the Heels over the first 5 to 6 games of this season, now that the Heels are undefeated going up against now Miami, transfers have played a big part in the, what, first quarter to first half of this season.
Yeah.
Now we've added Tez to that mix. So talk a little bit about guys like Tez, Nate McCollum, Elijah Huzzy, who has been amazing in that defensive backfield.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's part of the game now, right? I mean, I think everybody in college athletics realizes that transfers are going to be a big part of your team year in and year out. And so you've seen it from varying levels, all the way from Colorado getting whatever it was, like 75 new players in the transfer portal
Basically,
was. Yeah, to where you get to the Tar Heel approach of you end up, you know, you want to take some transfers. You look at your roster. You say, hey, where do we need the help? Who's out there that can benefit and fits with the program and all those different things? And I think you've got to really credit the coaching staff here, because they found some really tremendous fits, not just at the positions needed, but fits within the culture of what they want to do at Carolina and the type of team they want to be both on and off the field. And so you get, you mentioned the wide receivers, you know, Tez Walker, getting to see Tez, and he'll have a much larger role, I think, as the year goes on. You know, that was a tough situation to be dropped into last week and expect him to have a huge role in the game, but he still played more than 50 snaps and, you know, made 6 catches and 43 yards and made an impact in the game. And again, I think he'll have a larger impact as things move forward. Nate McCollum's been terrific, and with all the focus on Tez Walker, and understandably, Tez is kind of, or Nate's kind of quietly gone along and really made a big impact now in the games that he's been healthy enough to play. Missed the first couple, but, you know, gosh, the huge performance against Minnesota when he had double-digit catches and 165 yards. And then, yeah, Pittsburgh really paid a lot of attention to Nate, so his numbers weren't as high. But then all of a sudden, because of that attention, J.J. Jones and some others were able to have big games. And then he comes back and has over 100 yards again last week, had that long catch that got the Tar Heels to the doorstep of the end zone. And, you know, he's played really, really well. And Elijah Huzzy has been terrific. You know, he's got 3 interceptions in the last 2 games. He's been the most productive defensive player for Carolina in that secondary. And he just knows how to play football. And AJ, I think we may have talked about this last week, or I was talking to somebody about it. You know, Elijah Huzzy was that guy in high school who just played every position, right? He was the quarterback. He was the kicker. They'd move him to wide receiver sometimes. He'd play defensive back. He just knew how to play, and I think you see that in his play on the field, in that he might not be the tallest guy out there, he might not be the biggest, but what he is very instinctive to the game, and I think you see that in how he plays. And I'll also mention Willie Lampkin, you know, the transfer from Coastal Carolina, who has started on the offensive line. Yeah, he missed a couple games, and I think you felt his absence against Minnesota and against Pittsburgh. Carolina struggled to run the ball as effectively as it wanted to in those games, and it wasn't solely because Willie Lampkin wasn't there, but I think that did aid in some of those struggles. And then he comes back last week, and all of a sudden the Tar Heels are running a little more effectively. And so Carolina's done a really good job, in my opinion, in going and finding guys that fit what they want in the transfer portal. And last thing on this, AJ, 3 of those 4 guys that I just mentioned are moving up. So you've got Elijah Huzzy from FCS to FBS. Willie Lampkin was at Coastal Carolina. Tez Walker was at Kent State. Now, of course, Nate McCollum was at Georgia Tech. But those other 3 guys, you know, you're moving up. And I think when you move up a level like that, whether it's FCS to FBS, Group of 5 to Power 5, I think you do have a little more sense of urgency. I think you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. I think you appreciate where you are. And that's not to say other guys don't, but I do think that when you make that step up, it just adds a little extra juice to what you want to do on a day-in and day-out basis.
Jones Angel, voice of the Tar Heels, will, of course, be joining Jones tomorrow night, 6:30 is when he'll take over with the network here on 97.9 The Hill, following Inside Carolina Live starting at 4:30. Jones, as always, thank you very much, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, AJ. Hope you are still, most importantly, I hope you are still undefeated in your interviewing me weekends. Hope the Tar Heels make you 2-0. Great to talk with you.
Thank you, sir. 8:40 here on the Hill.